How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Aki. Talk golf with you every single Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. So much going on in the world of golf this week. And you've got the Players going on. There's some rumblings about what's going to happen with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. Where are we at on the merger? Jay Monahan spoke. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But the biggest news of the week this week, Mike, was what happened with Tiger Woods and the Achilles rupture that he had and has underwent surgery for, and it will wipe out his 2025. And it just begs the question now, what is next for Tiger Woods?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's the needle mover, or the needle himself, is out. He's out for the rest of the year. And, you know, it would have been an interesting year to see where he truly is in his comeback, because by all accounts, back in February, he looked as good and as strong as he ever did before that car accident. And so there was a lot of optimism in his camp about the majors, more specifically Augusta, than any of them. And unfortunately, our star was taken away from us. And, you know, now it's, we're going to sit here and try to figure out what is next for him. And, you know, should have this been the year that he was the captain of the Ryder Cup, or should he be the Ryder Cup captain when we go back over there? I think that's also where Tiger could also start seeing him spending some time, because I could also see us make a move that once Tiger becomes the captain, we just keep him as captain for the next, like, 10 Ryder Cups, because I think he is going to be a terrific captain.
Yeah, I think you'd be fantastic at it. He knows the magnitude of the situation, and I just think when it comes to picking up, like, he seems like someone who knows how to strategically put together the team. And I think that would be a really good next venture for him. I gave you the three options of, like, what's next on his docket. Like, what's he more likely to have in terms of will he be a pivotal part of the unification of LIV and the PGA Tour, a top 20 on a tour stop slash major, or will he win a senior tour event? But I think if he threw Ryder Cup captain in there as one of them, as another option, I may lean more that way, actually. Based on the tenor of how the LIV Golf and PGA Tour conversations have gone.
Oh, I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, I think he will be exactly what we need when we go back over there to try to win on foreign soil for the first time in, what, 33 or 35 years. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that's going to help us get that done. And when it does happen, we're just going to let him roll. And, I mean, that would be the smart play. You are the captain until you're not, until you can't win anymore. And I would love to see him, because I think he's worthy of that. I think he is such the GOAT, the greatest player ever. Now, does he have the greatest Ryder Cup record? Obviously not. But at the same time, I still think his position in the game is formidable enough that, you know, if the PGA of America decided, you know what, we're going to make Tiger Woods for as long as he wants to be captain, or for the next decade, or for the next several matches, because it's a move that the Europeans have actually done in the past, and I think it's something that we should do too once we start winning. Now, if Keegan wins in grand fashion and he wants to stick around, you know, I'd say go ahead, but I have a feeling if he wins, he'll say, I'm done and I'm out. Yeah. Give it to somebody else.
Joey G's in Melrose Park. Morning, Joey.
You know, I like the last take, Tyler and Mike. The Senior Cup and being the captain.
Well, the Ryder Cup,
Ryder Cup, yeah. You know, I'm not a golf evaluator, Tyler, and you know that. But he's the reason why I watch golf. And then when I was smaller, I had to watch golf because my dad wanted to watch Arnold Palmer. So, he cemented his legacy, Tiger. Mike, you there?
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, all right. The first time I met you, you don't say hello?
You don't know what you're stumbling into here, Mike. I mean, Joey G is one of the legends of callers on this station.
No, I know. I love Joey G.
My point is, Tyler, is he cemented his legacy. Let him come back, pass the torch to Charlie, and if he feels good and healthy enough, he could come into the seniors.
Yeah, I like
coming up. Huh?
Yeah, I like it, Joey. I like where your head's at.
He's got to think about his health. You know, his name is stamped in every putting green in the world. So,
yep.
Tiger Woods makes money. Period. The name makes money.
Yep.
So,
100% agree. Thanks for the call, Joey. I do want to get to one other thing from the week, and it was the comments made about the PGA Tour and LIV and how close are we to a merger. Let's start with Jay Monahan, commissioner of the PGA Tour. He brought this update at his press conference leading into the Players this weekend.
When you're in the midst of complex negotiations, particularly when you may be near a breakthrough, there are ebbs and flows in the discussion. The most important thing is the mutual respect that we've built over the last couple of years. We appreciate Yasser's innovative vision, and we can see a future where we welcome him onto our board and work together to move the global game forward. And as part of our negotiations, we believe there's room to integrate important aspects of LIV Golf into the PGA Tour platform. We're doing everything that we can to bring the two sides together. That said, we will not do so in a way that diminishes the strength of our platform or the very real momentum we have with our fans and our partners. So while we've removed some hurdles, others remain. But like our fans, we still share the same sense of urgency to get to a resolution. Our team is fully committed to reunification. The only deal that we'd regret is one that compromises the essence of what makes the game of golf and the PGA Tour so exceptional.
So that was Jay Monahan speaking to the media earlier this week. He remains steadfast that there is something that, and he sees a vision for this merger. But then you've got players like Justin Thomas, on the other hand, who kind of talk about the frustrations that are starting to boil up with some of these players on the tour.
I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. Like, I think it's, I'm glad I don't know more or I'm not more invested, because I think it would be mentally draining, physically draining. It just would be exhausting. And yeah, I think it's very obvious. We all just want to get resolved, but it's just something that's pretty serious. So it's not like you or anybody can say, all right, this is what we're going to do without it being perfect. And I think it obviously everybody needs to be on the same page, you know, and I think, it, you know, when it gets to that level, I don't know if, you know, the government's getting involved. Like, there's just way so many things above my pay grade that are involved to that I don't know about, that I probably shouldn't or can't speak to, because there's just so many things involved in it. But I obviously, like the rest of us, you know, we'd love for it to be done sooner rather than later.
So it does feel like the commissioner and the players do not seem like they're on the same page right now. And it's kind of felt this way for a little bit.
No, because from what the insiders are saying, there's a couple of things at hand here. When he says we want to adopt certain aspects of LIV, I'd love to know, like, give me, for an example, which aspect?
Yeah.
Like, team?
I mean, that's the only thing, like, team and maybe, like, some of the purses, like, some of the money coming in, too. Like, what else would you take from – you're not doing three-day tournaments. You're not doing 54 holes.
No. And so, yeah, that, I mean, the only thing I could think of maybe is some of the drone coverage that they do. I mean, if you go out to a live event, you're going to see more drones than you'll ever want to see.
Mm-hmm.
That I do give them credit for. But aside from that, I'm not sure there's a lot you would want to take from them. Maybe they're going to start playing some music, maybe not quite as loud. I don't know. But that is one thing that I found intriguing. The other thing that I've heard is that the PGA Tour has valued LIV in the negotiations. Their valuation is $500 million, and Yassir felt that that was not even nearly enough. And so I'd still like to know, what are you exactly buying with $500 million? What are you getting for that? I mean, the rights to that logo? I'm not sure the PGA Tour needs that. But, yeah, and then I think the biggest issue at hand here is, what does one tour look like, and how do you bring a player from LIV back over to the PGA Tour? To me, those are the two biggest operational issues that they have facing them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, when we come back, we will talk with PJ Clark from the Fried Egg. He will join us as he is live down at TPC Sawgrass for the players. So we'll get all of his thoughts on what the week has been in golf. It's been a heck of a week, and no better place to reconvene, because I've heard, too, that this is like the first spot where all of golf media really gets together. So it's like, oh, you're catching up with all your golf media brethren and just talking through what's been an incredible week of golf. So all that coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan talking all things golf with you. Let's head on down to Florida and to a very windy TPC Sawgrass where we find PJ Clark from the Fried Egg. He joins us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. And when PJ and I were texting to figure out a time to book this thing for today, he said, yeah, I'll try to find a spot that's not too windy down here in Florida. So it looks like conditions are going to be a bit of an issue today, PJ.
Yeah, wind's starting to pick up right about now. Expected late afternoon up to 30, 35 miles an hour. So, of course, obviously with a lot of water, a lot of trees in play. Going to be interesting to see how the ball flight kind of develops here. But it's starting to pick up for this, early afternoon tee times, I would say.
With the conditions changing as they are, and they're only going to get worse as the afternoon wears on, the guys that are like 6-7 shots behind might actually have a chance to rearrange this leaderboard in a way that we didn't see coming, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think you have a huge advantage if you're out on the course right now. Like you have Danny Walker, who's the last man in the field after Jason Day withdrew. He's 5-under through 13 right now. If you have a chance to get out early before this wind really, really picks up, like Daniel Berger's been playing well this morning, those are some guys. I don't know if they're going to be able to get towards the double digits, but if you get in the house at, 7, 8, even 9-under, if you can get there playing early this morning, I think you're going to be in a good spot headed toward tomorrow.
PJ Clark from the Fried Egg with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So what to you has been the biggest story this week from what's taken place? Let's take Tiger out of it, because we'll ask you about Tiger in a little bit, but like, Is it Rory, what he's done? Is it what Justin Thomas did yesterday? Is it some of the guys that didn't make the cut? Colin Morikawa had some comments that I think rubbed some people the wrong way. What's been the biggest story down there that people are talking about?
For me, I think it's Ludvig Åberg. I was really surprised to see him miss the cut. I know he moved down to this area over the winter. He said he's been playing the course a lot. I just think it was pretty disappointing for a guy that finally broke through at the Genesis and is, you know, picked off his first signature event. Obviously had a great season last year, debuting in all these majors, and as somebody that obviously has big expectations in a Ryder Cup year. But for me, I think the missed cut there was honestly kind of stunning. I was really kind of disappointed in his effort this week. JT, you mentioned, was electric yesterday. Obviously, you hate to see him go in the water there on 18 and not get a real chance to finish it off for the course record. But Rory's been playing well. Scotty's loitering. I think the PGA Tour, a guy like Tommy Fleetwood, obviously is up near the top of that leaderboard. I think the combination of the younger guys is tied for first right now, and then you have some Morikawas and Rory and Tommy Fleetwood close behind. I think it's a good leaderboard for a weekend here.
PJ, you mentioned the round that JT had yesterday being electric, and I had a chance to watch the entire back nine, and no doubt he was playing a whole different golf course than the rest of the crew. But what was the atmosphere like, and where were you? Were you by any chance at 17 when he made that? Because I'll bet that had to be just something special down there.
I was actually on 17 as he came up there. I mean, he obviously hit a great shot into that green, but that putt was tough coming across the bottom shelf there. It was pretty slidey. The burst of energy that really came through, he was really the last big name player to come through that people hung around for on Friday afternoon, and big pop of the crowd when it went in. He gave the salute to Ricky and Smiley and Kevin Kisner doing the happy hour from the drop zone over there. That was awesome. It was really shows a lot of resilience for a guy that has been on the come up this year. Definitely kind of rebounding after a down last couple of years. A guy that, you know, I would expect to see at Bethpage, and the U.S. needs to play well if they want to have a chance to get the Ryder Cup back on home soil here.
PJ Clark from the Fried Egg with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. In our last segment, we were talking about the merger and some of the conversations and some of the quotes that came out this week from Jay Monahan, Justin Thomas, among others. But what have you felt like is the conversation from people down there about the state of where we're at between a PGA Tour and a LIV Golf merger?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you mentioned Jay Monahan's presser from earlier in the week. It seems like everybody is kind of just saying the same things that, they expect the deal to get done. There's conversations. Things are moving in the right direction. And the big takeaway from him was he said that obviously some aspects of LIV are going to stay in this new PGA Tour new look after the deal is theoretically completed. Nobody really knows what that means. Is there an aspect of the team golf, which apparently LIV really is adamant about, would be a large departure from what the PGA Tour has done. So, honestly, I don't think it's been a huge storyline this week. I think there's a lot of fatigue around it. You know, we're heading on almost 3 years now of just these same conversations that I feel like it was a big, you know, kind of pop up early in the week on Tuesday there. But after that, it's I have tried to focus my attention more on the golf tournament at hand, I would say.
PJ, has the time finally come where we call the Players' Championship a major? And if not, why not? Because this week you mentioned how all the media are together. This, it feels like a major championship.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I would still say no. Their pitching point is the toughest field in golf, which at this point, when you're missing, you know, a lot of people like to debate the merits of how many really guys are missing in this field. Obviously, you have Bryson, you have Rahm, you have Brooks Koepka. Then you have guys like David Puig and Joaquin Niemann and Cam Smith, that maybe that second tier of LIV guys that would certainly add some depth to this field. There's, you know, they did a good job of going down the FedEx Cup points list for the season. They went down pretty far to fill this field out. So could you be better served by having, you know, maybe 8 to 10, 8 to 12 live guys in here? I definitely think so. It's obviously interesting to see how many live guys are going to be in majors this year with the, you know, USGA adding some qualifications, adding a spot for them potentially based on the live standings for the U.S. Open. So it's always something to keep an eye on. I think until maybe the two parties come back together, it can't, in my opinion, be the strongest field in golf. And I think that right now is probably what's holding it back.
PJ Clark from the Fried Egg with us here. You know, it was another disappointing weekend for Max Homa, and it's crazy to think that last time around when we were talking Ryder Cup, this was a guy who made it on points, and now all of a sudden he's outside the top 60 in the world. What, in your eyes, has happened to Max Homa?
Yeah, he mentioned yesterday, there's a good article on PGAtour.com about kind of his week down here that I was reading this morning. He mentioned that he's having a lot of trouble with his swing, and it's hard to come back from. Like you said, it's a guy that was one of the few bright spots, I would say, in Rome for the United States team and was on the President's Cup team last year. And you really felt like, you know, he brought the energy in Sunday singles on Rome, in Rome. And he was a big kind of rallying point for the U.S. at a time where not everybody was playing well. And obviously they got boat raced over there. So there wasn't a lot of positives. But I would say Max Homa was one of them. And to see him kind of struggling right now is tough. I think there's a larger conversation to be had about maybe the state of American golf and where the bottom half of this Ryder Cup team is. A great example yesterday, I was at 17 when the group of Brian Harman, Tony Finau, and Matt McNealy came through. And those guys were all well over par, all missed the cut, all struggled this week. And you look down the list and, you know, you have Scotty and Colin Morikawa, and Russell Henley's been great this year. So you feel good about those three guys. JT's rounding back in the form. And then, you know, what are you going to get from Xander? What are you going to get from Patrick Cantlay, who's been pretty quiet this year? And then even, you know, that's your top six or seven. Then you still got to find five or six guys to fill out those bottom slots. I think it's a lot tougher than Keegan Bradley, who at this point should probably just pick himself. Maybe imagined when he took this job.
So, PJ, as the wind starts to howl, and we can hear it back there, any news on what they're thinking about doing because of the weather they're forecasting tomorrow for tomorrow? And speaking of tomorrow, who do you think hosts the Crystal on Sunday?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet about tomorrow definitively. It seems like the storms, it's going to rain a little bit tomorrow, and the storms are kind of coming in earlier and earlier, maybe like, you know, 2 o'clock-ish. So it's going to be interesting if they go off split tees, if they go off in threes to try to get this in and avoid a Monday finish. But the wind's definitely going to pick up this afternoon. I think they're going to try to do a good job with some of these pins. I've only walked the front nine so far today, but trying to keep things in check and maybe not make things too crazy here. I think par is going to be a great score today. Guys are going to be battling, especially on the amphitheater at 17 there, just trying to hit the green, not really caring about where the pin is, what shelf it's on, just make it safe and not have to drop down there. As far as who I think is going to win, I'm hard-pressed to think that Rory is not in a really great spot right now. He has not hit the ball. I would say he hasn't hit the ball great from what I've seen from him this week. It hasn't been completely on at all times. So if that flips on, he's putted really well. So if he can keep that up, it's hard to pick against a guy like that. But like I said before, Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, the top of this board has some star power. So if you can survive today and be within, you know, 3 or 4 shots of the lead tomorrow, I think it's there for the taking.
PJ Clark from the Fried Egg with us here for a couple more minutes. Once upon a time, you got a swing critique, and this person said your swing is, quote, not that bad. And
yeah,
person who delivered that swing critique was Tiger Woods. What's been the Tiger chatter down there? Like, do people think he's got another comeback in him?
I don't think anybody is ruling it out. I think, in my opinion, everybody, you know, I think Tiger deserves to go out the way he wants to. And if that is battling back from this Achilles injury and you know, trying to keep the made cut streak at the Masters alive and just trying to do that and make a cut at a U.S. Open and really try to be involved as much as he can. You know, I don't know what the future of TGL looks like, but obviously he's heavily invested there and has put a lot of time and effort into that product. I think having Tiger around is obviously good for the game in whatever capacity he decides. You know, will he be the Ryder Cup captain in Ireland? All things like that, I think, are, you know, the timeline might have been dramatically shifted with this latest news. It feels like something always comes up when it's time for Tiger to really get back into form and round into shape. And, you know, guys had a really tough 2.5 months here. So it's hard to say. I understand why his heart wasn't in it to try to even come play this week. And of course the injury, you know, as he was trying to prep to maybe make a comeback for the Masters, it's tough, but I think Tiger deserves to go out however he decides. And I think the game would be better for it.
I'm looking right now and I see that Keegan Bradley is through 7. So he'll be off the course probably in the next 2.5 hours. You and him posting up anywhere to watch the Johnnies tonight?
Yeah, I haven't actually talked to Keegan yet this week, but I have been curious about how intense he's taking the Big East tournament, because I know I am. I mean, first time since 2000, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. So maybe I'll find Keegan out and about in downtown Jack's Beach, and we'll find a spot.
Awesome. Well, best of luck to your Johnnies today, and enjoy the rest of the tournament. Don't get tipped over. I know it's crazy down there with the winds, and it's only going to get worse. So, PJ Clark from the Fried Egg, appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
PJ Clark, you can check his work out, thefriedegg.com. When we come back, speaking of St. John's and college basketball, Mike, I compiled a list of each conference and the best golfers on tour by conference, and I want you to tell me which foursome you think would post the best number. We'll do all that and more when we come back as we get a little bit into the spirit of the college basketball and college conference tournament season. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. PGA to where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking all things in the world of golf with you. Before we get into this conference tournament stuff here, I just saw this on Twitter. Mike, are you familiar with it's called COSM? It's like this bar lounge type of deal, but there's these effectively like virtual reality screens. And it makes you feel like you're sitting right there. So they've done it in the NFL where it feels like you're sitting like right on the walls at an NFL game, or at like you're sitting courtside in an NBA game. But they've got it set up in Los Angeles right now. I think they've got one in Dallas too. It's set up for the 17th hole right now at the Players.
Is it really?
So it almost looks like you're right across the water on the Island Green at the 17th. It's incredible.
No, I've never heard of this.
I'll send you a video of it, but it's pretty cool the way that they've done it. And anyone that's I've seen that's gone to it and done like a review of it is like, it really feels like you're there watching it. Like you are at the event. It's crazy how they do it. But I'd imagine it's some sort of like virtual reality type of deal. But yeah, pretty cool stuff there.
Well, I would love to see what it would be like to watch the Masters in that sphere in Vegas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that thing looks incredible. Last time I was in Vegas, they were, I think, just finishing up construction with it, but you could see it, and it looked spectacular. And I've heard Adam Abdallah has been to a concert there. He went to go see Dead & Company there. And one of his takeaways was, it may have ruined concerts for him forever, because this thing has just set a standard in a bar that is not ever going to be topped again.
Well, it's funny. Casey Richards, our senior managing director of communications, he was just out there for the Eagles concert a couple weeks ago. And he said it was unbelievable. Yeah.
It seems like it's just a different beast out there. All right, so it is conference tournament time in college basketball. And I went through, and I was thinking through like college golf and how some of these players rise through. And I was going through, all right, I'm going to create the best foursome for each conference. So I've got an SEC, an ACC, a Big 12, a Big 10. And then I took like a group of five, like everyone else. So everyone that didn't go to a power conference, they got their name thrown into the hat as well. So I'll read through, and I thought this was actually going to be a very unbalanced exercise, but the more I look into it, it actually ended up being a lot more balanced than I thought it would be. I took both LIV and PGA Tour players, and I definitely took into account realignment, because if I didn't, it would have been a little bit tougher. But I feel like realignment, one of the sports that it really leveled the playing field with is golf, at least based on the alumni here. All right. So I'll start in the SEC, where you've got Scottie Scheffler out of Texas, Russell Henley from Georgia, Justin Thomas from Alabama, and Sepp Straka from Georgia. So those are your four in the SEC: Scottie, Russell Henley, Justin Thomas, and Sepp Straka. Out of the ACC, you've got Colin Morikawa from Cal, realignment again. Brooks Koepka, a native, and Florida State, so a founding ACC member there. Bryson DeChambeau from SMU, once again, realignment to the rescue.
Wow.
And then Will Zalatoris from Wake Forest. So you got Colin, Brooks, Bryson, and Zalatoris. In the Big 12, Ludwig Oberg from Texas Tech, John Rahm, Arizona State, and then the Oklahoma State boys, Victor Hovland and Ricky Fowler. From the Big Ten, really needed realignment for this one. Wyndham Clark, Oregon, Patrick Cantlay, UCLA, Thomas Dietrich, Illinois, Nick Taylor, Washington. So Wyndham, Cantlay, Dietrich, Nick Taylor. And then your group of five: Xander Schauffele from San Diego State, Keegan Bradley, St. John's, Robert McIntyre, McNeese, and Sahith Theegala from Pepperdine. So Keegan, Schauffele, McIntyre, and Sahith. Any one of those stick out in particular? I think I know where I'm going.
To me, the big three are the Big 12, SEC, and ACC.
Yes.
And to me, it's a battle between the Big 12 and the SEC. So
interesting.
I like, well, ACC's pretty tough.
ACC, too, like Morikawa, Brooks, Bryson. I think that is as strong of a three as you're going to find. And Will Zalatoris has played some pretty good golf this year, too.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and it was really for that reason of how he's been playing that, you know, really makes that ACC division look the strongest, I suppose. But, you know, if it was the Victor of old, I'd love the Ludwig, Rahm, Victor, and Ricky, just because Ricky seems like he's coming back on the upside of things. But I think you're right. I think between what Brooks has done, what Bryson's in the process of doing, and what Colin's doing, and Will coming back, now that I look at it, I would tend to agree. I think maybe the ACC, but again, all the credit going to realignment here.
Yeah. Yeah, not much realignment being done in the Big 12. You're really only pigeonholing John Rahm over out of Arizona State. But I went into this exercise thinking, oh, this is going to be SEC running away with it. And then I got into it a little bit more. I was like, huh, actually, I might be between the ACC and the Big 12. And listen, like, I think the ACC across the board builds the stronger team. But if you're giving me, like, the star or the leader, I'd take Scottie or Ludwig over, give me whoever you want out of the ACC, Brooks, Bryson, or Colin Morikawa. I'd take Ludwig or Scottie over either of those three right now. But in terms of like the depth of the team, I think it's the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, based on who you mentioned, I would tend to agree of the whole body of work, right? But I guess if you were to come down to just you know, who is the best player? Obviously, you're going to run either to Scotty or Ludvig. But I think what this is, and very well done by you, by the way, Tyler.
Thank you.
But I think this just goes to show you how good college and collegiate golf has become. Mm-hmm. Because there was a day 20, 25 years ago that if you would have done this exercise, you'd be searching long and hard for anyone coming out of that Big Ten.
Yeah.
I can promise you that.
Tiger technically would be a Big Ten guy back
then. Well, now he would be, yes. But years ago, no way.
Right.
And in fact, then I think you might be looking at the Pac-12.
Yeah, or yeah, Pac-10. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the Pac-10.
Pac-8.
Yeah, the Pac-8. But, yeah, I would be that or the Big 12 between Texas and Oklahoma State back in the day. But
for sure.
Aside from that, some of these other conferences were just sort of, eh. But, yeah, now you can see that it doesn't even matter what conference you're in. And, in fact, some of these players come from now mid-majors, and they're making it out on tour.
Yeah, like I was just going through some of the mid-major guys, too. Like I mentioned Xander Schauffele and then Sahith Theegala, but even like going a little bit deeper, like Akshay Bhatia out of Queens College. Yeah. Who would have thought they would be producing big-time players on the tour right now? The interesting thing to me, too, with the Big 12 is a lot of international influence. You've got Ludvig and you've got Hovland from Sweden and Norway, and then you've got Jon Rahm from Spain. Ricky Fowler, the only American finding his way onto the roster out of the Big 12. The rest of them were international guys who came to the States to play their college golf.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This conference in particular was one of the first to really start that international recruiting. And it really started at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
They were really the first to get hot and heavy into it, as was Arizona State in grabbing some of the players they have, including Jon Rahm. But, yeah, that all kind of got started by the Big 12, and then all the other conferences have followed suit.
Yeah, it's been cool. I remember the first time I ever watched Victor Hovland was at Glenview Park Golf Club. Ron Cassidy, I'm sure, was in the building, and we didn't know each other at the time. And I'm sitting there, I'm eating at the restaurant. They had just opened Course Italia, and I'm there with my dad, and they have the Golf Channel on, and they're showing, I believe it was the national championships then. I can't remember exactly where. Maybe it was even like the Big 12 tournament or something like that. But they were showing that, and there was Victor Hovland, and this guy was on fire. And I was like, you know what? He's going to be one of these guys that I track coming out of college. And he came out guns a-blazing, was on the tour in no time. And then all of a sudden, he was in the hunt for majors, and then he did what he did at the B&W. And unfortunately, it has not kept up that way with him, but he was certainly one of those stars right out of college that made his way onto the tour and kind of took it by storm.
You know, it's funny when you mention Victor, because let's face it, he's not from an exotic like Spain.
No.
You know, like some of these other guys like Jon Rahm and whatnot. He's from Norway. They are known for their alpine skiing.
Yeah.
So a guy like Ludvig coming from Sweden, I have a sneaking suspicion that Annika Sorenstam had a lot to do with him being attracted to the game of golf and what she did for her country. But it's Victor Hovland is an anomaly like no other. I mean, I think they only have a couple months to even play golf over in Norway.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to make it onto the PGA Tour out of a place like that. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA, the segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing today's show. The segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. This time, every single week on the show, we go around the CDGA. And Mike, what do we have going on right now?
Well, before we get to that piece, I just wanted to let listeners know, if you have a topic or something wild or crazy that's happened in the game that you witnessed, you observed, feel free to email us at cdgagolfshow@cdga.org. cdgagolfshow@cdga.org, because credit goes out to the friend of the show, Eddie from Warrenville, for writing in and sharing this with us. Did you know that a couple Fridays back, Dale Whitney of the DP World Tour made not one, but two aces in the same round, as well as an eagle? So the odds of two aces in one round of golf are 1 in 69 million. Throw in an eagle, and who knows what that would be, right?
Jeez.
Dustin Johnson did something rather unique in Hong Kong last week. He managed to fire a final round 64. Now, you would think when you shoot 64 on Sunday, you would just percolate right up that leaderboard. Well, DJ finished 54th out of 54.
Jeez.
Hard to believe that he was absolutely the world beater just a few years ago. 13th in the world when he jumped to live. He won the 2020 Masters. He was 5-0 at the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. So what does DJ do when he goes to Singapore in his first round? He shoots 63, follows it up with a 68. He's winning that tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, golf can be kind of wild and crazy. But what's going on in around the CDGA? Well, as you mentioned, Tyler, at the beginning of the show, the golf season officially starts today. So you can begin posting scores between now and November 14th. And speaking of reporting scores, to do that, you want to join the CDGA, and there's no better time to join than really today. You get not only your USGA index, but the ability to play in some of our championships and social competitions. Incredible number of member perks from some of the best companies in golf. We have travel opportunities, regional, national, as well as international. We have member play days. We send home six print magazines and four digitals to you, and then you get a weekly newsletter. So, you know, like you always say, Tyler, it pays for itself.
Yes,
through
it does.
Just the member benefits, let alone the rest of it. So CDGA.org, sign up. Love to have you on board and join the 112,000 that make up the CDGA. And then really, for us, Tyler, I want to wish you good luck, because I just looked at the leaderboard, and you just took a one-shot lead over me. You have climbed 297 spots in the CDGA Fantasy Golf. You're 34 under par. I'm 33 under par. We have a dogfight between you and I for those coveted Jersey Mike sandwiches.
Indeed,
so
we do.
I wish you nothing but the best on that. And speaking of Jersey Mike's, if you're hungry today, CDGA members, show your coupon at any Jersey Mike's in the Chicago district, and you'll get $2 off any regular sub sandwich. And if you're looking for yardage books, PuttView, buy two PuttView yardage books and get the third one free as being a CDGA member. And if you are in need of ammunition, and when I say ammunition, I mean golf balls, we have Strixon, Callaway, and Titleist, and we have the lowest prices that you will ever see if you're a CDGA member. Just go to your CDGA member golf shop at cdga.org. You'll have to use your username and password to see all the incredible deals that we have. But go early and go often, and I know a lot of people who have told me now, Mike, I only buy my golf balls for you because you guys have the best deal in town. So check it out, CDGA members. And that, my friends, is all that's going around the CDGA. Play well.
All right. Good stuff. And good luck to everyone out there getting on the course. We'll be back with you next week at 9 to 11 a.m. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. And we'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.